White, J.E. White, Emma. George's Terrace, Melbourne, Australia, February 6, 1894. Dear children, since the camp meeting, we have settled down in the school building. We are very pleasantly situated in the second story of Terrace Number 3. I have a very large room with three ample windows. I sleep in this room and have plenty of air. The next apartment is the dining room, pleasant and roomy. May sleeps alone in that room. Sister Tuxford and May do the cooking in still another room. We go down a half a dozen steps from the dining room, then up two or three steps. First, we come to the bathroom, then to the kitchen with a gas stove, then to still another room, where Sister Tuxford and Emily sleep, and Emily does her work. Our family consists of Sister Tuxford, Marlon, Emily, May, and myself. Here we are, well settled, to remain only 6 weeks. Then we must be emptied out for the fall term of school begins. I am getting to be very tired of moving. It worries me out, settling and unsettling, gathering up manuscripts and scattering them, to be gathered up again. If I should look to my poor, finite self, I should soon become discouraged. But in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I take courage, and press forward with his name on my lips to the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. If we at times feel our infirmities encompassing us, and a discouragement comes upon us, we must look away from self unto Jesus, and pray for spiritual eyesight. We need it now, in order to understand his word. A flood of light is poured into the chambers of the mind and the soul temple, that we may understand the scriptures. There is truth, precious, sacred truth. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. All who are simple, meek and lowly in heart, will humble self and seek counsel of the Lord in his holy word. Feeling is nothing reliable, but the word is solid rock. We can safely study our Bibles, and the Holy Spirit will impress our minds and heart. The Lord has a work for you to do, and if you listen to his voice, you will not be left in darkness. The Savior says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow, for they know not the voice of strangers." John 10, verse 27, 5. I am sure that the Lord is revealing to you the perfection and fullness of the atoning work, that your whole heart may be filled with love and thanksgiving, and that you may reveal to others that which the Lord is revealing to you. The image of Christ engraved upon the heart is reflected in character, in practical life, day by day, because we represent a personal Savior. The Holy Spirit is promised to all who will ask for it. When you search the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is by your side, personating Jesus Christ. The truth is a living principle made to shine in precious clearness to the understanding. And then, oh then, it is time to speak words from the living Christ. Ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Christ said to the woman of Samaria, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." A well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 10, 14. Those who have the outpouring of the gospel of Christ, which comes from the heart imbued by his Holy Spirit, will give light and comfort and hope to hearts that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It is not excitement we wish to create, but deep, earnest consideration, that those who hear shall do solid work, real, sound, genuine work that will be enduring as eternity. We hunger not for excitement, for the sensational. The less we have of this, the better. The calm, earnest reasoning from the Scriptures is precious and fruitful. Here is the secret of success in preaching a living personal Savior in so simple and earnest a manner that the people may be able to lay hold by faith of the power of the Word of Life. Present not Anna Phillips' productions, but the truth, substantiated by the authority of the living Word, which is the power of God unto salvation. My dear son Edson, I am deeply interested in your experience and I hope you will trust in the Lord continually. I hope you will not allow your feelings to control you. God has given you a work to do. Be faithful to your Redeemer. God can open the way before you. He can place your feet in safe paths and lead you on to victory. We want to understand daily the meaning of these words, turned to God. Acts 15, verse 19. Here are true holiness, rest and peace, grace and glory. Turn not to any living man to be your helper. Tell everything to Jesus. He knows all the bearings, all the results of every purpose and every plan. His wisdom is unerring, and he has given evidence how much he loves his purchased possession, and how willing, how gratified he is to help his children, to guide them in judgment. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then come to Jesus, although you feel your unworthiness. The life of simple dependence upon God is a daily lesson in knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8, verse 32. The voice of invitation is, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. To God, only to God, pour out the sorrows, the great needs and troubles of your soul. He will help you. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 62, verse 5, 6. Under the showers of the latter rain, the inventions of man, the human machinery, will at times be swept away. The boundary of man's authority will be as broken reeds, and the Holy Spirit will speak through the living, human agent with convincing power. No one, then, will watch to see if the sentences are well rounded off, if the grammar is faultless. The living water will flow in God's own channels. But let us be careful now not to exalt men, their sayings and doings, and let not anyone consider it a grand point to have a startling experience to relate, for here is a fruitful field where credence will be given to unworthy persons. Young men and women will be lifted up and will regard themselves as wonderfully favored, called to do some great thing. There will be conversions many, after a peculiar order, but they will not bear the divine signature. Immorality will come in, and extravagance, and many will make shipwreck of faith. Our only safety is in keeping fast hold of Jesus. Never are we to lose sight of him. He says, Without me, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. We must cultivate an abiding sense of our own inefficiency and helplessness and rely wholly on Jesus. This should keep us individually calm and steadfast in words and deportment. Excitement in the speaker is not power, but weakness. Earnestness and energy are essential in presenting Bible truth, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. March 16th. I am unable to sleep this morning and arise from my bed at 2 o'clock to write to you, my dear children. In the last letter that I sent you, I made suggestions in reference to your coming to this country, but I fear that our course of action will be such that it will not be advisable at present. Your plans in reference to working for the colored people are, I believe, correct. But Edson, do not gather responsibilities upon yourself. The enemy will seek to get you involved in plans and in inventions that will embarrass you. Take up the work in some line where you can work to a purpose. The talent God has given you in the ability to comprehend the truths of His Word is a precious gift. If your opportunities are improved, your mind will be led into fruitful study, to an intelligent understanding of the grand, elevating, sanctifying truths for this time, and you can bless others in your work. The Lord evidently designs to cut you clear from any earthly dependence and to teach you the precious lessons of entire trust in Him. The Holy Spirit has been grieved that you have not surrendered your will to God's will, and years have passed into eternity that might have been rich in good works for the saving of souls. I wish I could communicate all that is in my mind upon some points, but today the mail leaves for America, and I have not been able to write as much as I desired. Since I came to Melbourne, the work has been pressing urgently upon me. I have spoken in Brighton, and in Williamstown, where the interest is excellent and the field ripe for the harvest. The weather has been very warm, and it has been taxing to speak under the tent, but I have reason to praise my Heavenly Father that He grants me so largely of His Holy Spirit that I can continue to bear the message of His grace and love in demonstration of His Spirit. The congregations listen with profound interest. Should I not praise God for this with heart and soul and voice? In Brighton, several have taken their positions on the Sabbath. In Williamstown, also, some have decided to obey the truth. There was not a Sabbath keeper in the place when the tent was set up there, but the interest has steadily increased since camp meeting. Several are now in the Valley of Decision. I speak in the hall in that place next Sunday afternoon, O my son. I pray for the Lord to work in His own way upon the minds of the people, that a healthy church may be raised up in Williamstown. Already the matter of erecting a church building in this place is under serious consideration. It can be done, and must be done at once. Besides laboring for those who are just hearing the truth, we find work to do in setting things in order among ourselves, that the machinery may run without friction. Edson, I feel a deep interest for your prosperity, and I know that your only safe course is to break away from every business transaction and put your mind and soul into the exposition of the Word. Be determined that you will not fail nor be discouraged. If you trust in the Lord moment by moment, if you search the Scriptures with earnest prayer, you will have opened to you the richest treasures from the Word of God. In humility, as a learner in the school of Christ, you will learn His meekness and lowliness of heart. God is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than parents are to give good gifts unto their children. I am sure that there is a heaven full of the richest enduring treasures to be freely given to all who will appropriate them to themselves, and becoming enriched thereby, will impart freely to others. I know this to be truth. I have many things to say. My heart is full of thankfulness. I often awake in the night season praising the Lord that He has given me the measure of health I now enjoy, and that His hand, in loving, pitying tenderness, has laid hold upon you, my son, and placed your feet upon the solid rock. And in this I see how much can be done in saving other poor souls that are ready to perish. But there are presented to me dangers and quicksands that must be carefully avoided. While those who are obeying the word in Isaiah cry aloud, "Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah 58, verse 1. In this work so essential to be done, things will be encouraged that will result in marring the work of God, unless the messengers are endued with heavenly wisdom. We must act like men in earnest. We need to obtain a rich daily experience in prayer. We should be like the importunate widow, who, in her conscious need, overcame the unjust judge by the bare force of her determined pleading. God will be inquired of to do these things for us, for this is giving depth and solidity to our experience. The soul that seeks God will need to be in earnest. He is a rewarder of all those that seek Him diligently. There are quicksands upon which many are in danger of being swamped. It is always safe to seek for the earnest of the Spirit of God, if we do not mingle with the force and presumption that is not heaven-born. There is need of caution in all our utterances, lest some poor souls of ardent temperament shall work themselves up into a zeal not according to knowledge. They will act as though it was their prerogative to use the Holy Spirit, instead of letting the Holy Spirit use them and mold and fashion them after the pattern of the divine. There is danger of running ahead of Christ. We should honor the Holy Spirit by following where it shall lead. Lean not to thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. This is one danger of those who teach the truth to others. To follow where Christ leads is a safe path for our feet. His work will stand. Whatsoever God saith is truth. But ministers who bear the last message of mercy to fallen men must utter no random words. They must not open doors whereby Satan shall find access to human minds. It is not our work to experiment, to study out something new and startling that will create excitement. Satan is watching his chance to take advantage of anything of this order, that he may bring in his deceiving elements. The Holy Spirit, moving upon the human agents, will keep the mind well balanced. There will not be a wrought-up excitement to be followed by reaction. Satan will make use of every extravagant expression to the injury, not only of the speaker, but of those who shall catch the same spirit and infuse others to their harm. Calmness and solemnity should be cultivated. The solemn truths we dwell upon will lead us to manifest deep earnestness. How can we do otherwise when weighted with the most sacred message to bear to perishing souls, weighted by the sense of the nearness of our Savior's coming? If we are constantly looking unto Jesus and receiving His Spirit, we shall have clear eyesight. Then we shall discern the perils on every side, and shall guard every word we utter, lest Satan find opportunity to weave in his deceptions. We do not want to have the minds of the people wrought up into an excitement. We should not encourage an expectation to see strange and wonderful things, but teach them to follow Jesus step by step. Preach Jesus Christ, in whom our hope of eternal life is centered. The enemy is preparing to deceive the whole world by his miracle-working power. He will assume to personate the angels of light, to personate Jesus Christ. Everyone who teaches the truth for this time is to preach the Word. Those who cling to the Word will not throw open the doors for Satan by making unguarded statements in reference to prophesying or to dreams and visions. To a greater or less degree, false manifestations have been coming in here and there since 1844, after the time when we looked for the second coming of Christ. We have had them in the Garmeyer case, in the statements of Jones, in the Stanton movement. We shall have them more and more, and like faithful sentinels, we must be on guard. Letters are coming to me from many persons concerning visions which they have had, and feel it their duty to relate. May the Lord help His servants to be cautious. When the Lord has a genuine channel of light, there are always plenty of counterfeits. Satan will surely enter any door thrown open for him. He will give messages of truth, mingling with the truth ideas of his own, prepared to mislead souls, to draw the mind to human beings and their sayings, and prevent it from holding firmly to a thus saith the Lord. In God's dealings with his people, all is quiet. With those who trust in him, all is calm and unpretending. There will be simple, true, earnest believers in the Bible, and there will be doers of the word as well as hearers. There will be sound, earnest, sensible waiting upon God. The believer will hang his helpless soul on Jesus Christ. Christ will be exalted. Working and praying, watching and waiting, is our position. We should not desire to be recognized and to have our work appreciated in the fullest measure. Heaven is the best and safest place in which to hear from the lips of our Redeemer the result of our work. It is not necessary or helpful, nor is it pleasing to the spiritual worker, to have the name paraded in the papers with flattering words concerning his talents and efficiency. God knows all about the work accomplished by every laborer in his vineyard. I plead not for less earnestness, for every soul needs now the vitalizing power of God. But if the Holy Spirit works through the human agent, it is because he hides self in Jesus and becomes in Christ a laborer together with God. My son, walk humbly with God. Your power and efficiency are in Jesus. The mighty tide of spiritual power will come upon the men who preach the word, uplifting Jesus. This inspires in the hearer a living faith, which brings forth fruit abundantly. We want the truth spoken to human hearts by men that have been baptized with holy love for Christ and for the purchase of His blood. Men who are themselves thoroughly impressed with the truth they are presenting to others, and who are practicing the same in their own life. The Word of God is sure, and every speaker should seek to link the hearer to Christ, read John 17, verse 22-24, Ephesians 1, verse 3-8. Here are presented to us the riches of heaven's blessings. We cannot conceive of anything greater or more blessed. We have here the possibility before the human agent. It is the will of God that we should be so thoroughly identified with His Son that we shall be one with Christ as Christ is one with the Father. Through faith we may be wholly one with Christ. We may have our entire soul, body, and spirit bound up with Christ in God, so that we shall share in the very same love wherewith Christ is loved by the Father. And we are to be sharers in His glory, for Christ says, "The glory which Thou givest me, I have given them. What is that glory? The character of Christ. Can we ask any greater endowment? To have any place in heaven, to be in the presence of Christ, seems a blessing too great for sinful human beings to enjoy. But the marvelous mercy and goodness and love of God are beyond our comprehension. By accepting Christ as his personal Savior, man is brought into the same close relation to God and enjoys his special favor as does his own beloved Son. He is honored and glorified and intimately associated with God, his life being hid with Christ in God. Oh, what love, what wondrous love! Copyist left them out for want of time. This is my teaching of moral purity. The opening of the blackness of impurity will not be one half as efficacious in uprooting sin as will the presentation of these grand and ennobling themes. The Lord has not given to women a message to assail men and charge them with their impurity and incontinence. They create sensuality in place of uprooting it. The Bible, and the Bible alone, has given the true lessons upon purity. Then preach the word. Such is the grace of God, such the love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, enemies in our minds by wicked works, serving divers lusts and pleasures, the slaves of debased appetites and passion, servants of sin and Satan. What depth of love is manifested in Christ, as he becomes the propitiation for our sins. Through the ministration of the Holy Spirit, souls are led to find forgiveness of sins. The purity, the holiness of the life of Jesus, as presented from the Word of God, possess more power to reform and transform the character than do all the efforts put forth in picturing the sins and crimes of men and the sure results. One steadfast look to the Savior, uplifted upon the cross, will do more to purify the mind and heart from every defilement than will all the scientific explanations by the ablest tongue. Before the cross, the sinner sees his unlikeness of character to Christ. He sees the terrible consequences of transgression. He hates the sin that he has practiced, and he lays hold upon Jesus by living faith. He has judged his position of uncleanness in the light of the presence of God and the heavenly intelligence. He has measured it by the standard of the cross. He has weighed it in the balances of the sanctuary. The purity of Christ has revealed to him his own impurity in its odious colors. He turns from the defiling sin. He looks to Jesus and lives. He finds an all-absorbing, commanding, attractive character in Jesus Christ, the one who died to deliver him from the deformity of sin, and with quivering lip and tearful eye he declares, "He shall not have died for me in vain. Thy gentleness hath made me great." How prone we are, on all occasions, to look to our fellow men for sympathy for uplifting, instead of looking to Jesus. How ready is the human agent to forsake the fountain of living waters, the cool snow waters of Lebanon, and drink of the turbid streams of our valley? Oh, in his mercy and faithfulness, God will cause our fellow men whom we place confidence to fail us in order that we may learn the folly of trusting in man and making flesh our arm. Listen to the words of the prophet. See Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 6. Talk of heavenly things, talk of the eternal weight of glory that will be awarded to the overcomer, and you will have success in your work.